great to be here this morning. As always, church, love being in the house of God. And I love you. I love you. Pastor Nige loves you as well. And, thank you, Melissa. That's just so sweet. We love you guys. And I want you to feel comforted by the fact that we pray for you. We pray for you all during the week. We pray for your health. We pray for your financial worlds. We pray for your relational worlds. We pray for the giants in your world that need to be slayed. And we also pray that you're having a great week and you're enjoying your life. And, often I get text messages through Pastor Nige. We'll get a text message through and there's a crisis in someone's world. And not only does Pastor Nige pray and I pray, but we pray as a family. And so often what we'll do is a text message will come through and if we're all together, we just stop and we pray. We go, right, we're going to pray for this situation right now and release the power of God into your problems. I heard Sandy's house had the flames licking up at the door yesterday, and so we just stopped and we prayed. And a lot of you, I know that people have had operations and different things and had some health issues. I want you to know that we stop and we pray for you. We've got your back, church. Your pastors, not just myself, but Helen and Charlie and Steve and all our team, we've got your back. You know that. I want you to know that. But Pastor Nigel will be back up preaching, so don't worry. He'll be back up next Sunday in some shape or form. We'll have him sitting on a chair in his board shorts. And that's why you created Board Shorts Sunday, wasn't it? You just wanted to keep that going. And he'll be preaching next week and talking about the vision for our church for 2015. But just as a bit of an introduction, we're calling 2015 Impact. Impact. And the question that we've been asking ourselves as a team and as a leadership team over the last few months has been, who are you impacting and how is God impacting your world? Who are you impacting and how is God impacting your world? And we'll be discussing that a little bit, a lot next week, and we'll be talking about that in our leaders and volunteers meeting after the service if you'd like to stick around for that. But as a part of that, I've been thinking about that. And so last year I did a series on overcoming. And last year I celebrated 40 years as a Christian. I know. I was in the womb. No, not really, but thank you. 40 years as a Christian. And I actually came to Christ. Many of you have heard this story that I actually was by a beautiful neighbour of mine. And she invited me and my brother and my sister to church, actually to a kids program. And as a result of that, my brother, my sister, and I are all following God today, as well as my mum, who lives in the country, and she's also following God. That one invitation changed our world. And Sandy, I can so identify with you, that sense of the generations. Three generations were impacted by one person's invitation. Never underestimate the power of invitation. Asking someone to the house of God, because it's here where the presence of God is that just gets over and onto people, and it can transform their lives. So last year, as being a Christian for 40 years and a pastor for nearly 20 years, one of the things that I started to see was a pattern of behavior in myself and in other people. And what that pattern of behavior was that there were big things that people were struggling to overcome. They were the big ones, like fear, sometimes depression or disappointment. There was financial insecurity. There were all these things that we needed to overcome. So this year we did overcoming, but I want to do a series called How To. How To. And giving you some tools to equip you in line with our vision for this year of impact. I want to help you in your journey this year on connecting deeper with God. And the way that you can do that, if you've got some tools in your arsenal for when things go wrong, you're going to go, this is what I need to do. So how to. And so on, leading on from that, we were on holidays, Nige and I. We actually are at the season of our life now where we can holiday without our children. I'm sorry. It's just such a lovely feeling. Oh, Ben and Avina, stop laughing. You've been holidaying without children all your life, these guys. And it was just such a lovely feeling. And, you know, one of the things I love to do is I love the beach. And I was sitting under this deck chair. I know it was not a glamorous place, but it was glamorous for me. Anyway, I was sitting under this deck chair. And I just felt this need to reconnect with the words of Jesus for me personally in my reading this year in 2015. So I am doing a study on the words of Jesus, just everything that Jesus has said. Sometimes we can get caught up in the words of the Apostle Paul, which is awesome because all he does is glorify Jesus. But having said that, I just wanted to really read the words of Jesus. So I got stuck, though, as you do, in the Beatitudes. Flipping heck. Everything that came out of Jesus' mouth was absolutely profound, wasn't it? But one of the ones that I've been meditating on for the past few weeks is God blesses, Matthew 5 verse 8, is God blesses those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. And the title of my message today is How to Have a Heart of Integrity. So Matthew 5, 8, God blesses those who are pure in heart, for they will see God. If you've got an iPad or a phone or a notebook and paper, if you're old-fashioned, take some notes today. So often what we'll do is we will think of the word integrity and we'll use it out of context. The word integrity we often automatically default to is that we think of a person that has integrity as being morally upright. But actually it comes from the Latin, and also the French have gotten in there along the way. And it comes from the Latin word integra. If you're a Latin teacher, I apologize. You know me, my Hebrew, Greek and Latin, I've got a long way to go. It means integra. What it means is it means an integrated life. It means a whole life. So what often we can do in our lives is we can actually have our lives compartmentalized. Think about it. We talk about our work life, our church life, our social life, our sex life. Now, I do say we've got a kids zone, so kids are in here. Chuck them out there because I'm going to mention that three-letter word. Our sex life. Our family life, or our secret life. It's if all our lives have these compartments and we behave differently depending on the context. And so what God wants us to do is to have a pure in heart, is to actually have lives that are integrated, they're whole. So that means that you are the same person whether you are at work, at home, that's a hard one, at work, at home, in your marriage, come on. Sometimes even in the sexual area, there can be a deviancy in that. It can demoralize one of the partners in a relationship. Or it can be our social life. Well, God wants it all integrated. You see, God, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, and we won't turn there for time, but God looks at the heart. And so we often think we can hide parts of our heart or our life, but he sees it all. And he cares more about your heart. And so for us to have a greater impact and for God to have a greater impact in 2015, what we need to do is we need to work on having parts of our lives more integrated and woven together. So pure in heart does not mean that you are perfect or sinless. Oh, quick. Oh, thank goodness. Don't you find sometimes the label of Christian, you just think, oh my gosh. It doesn't mean perfect or sinless. Only God, Jesus was sinless. Oh, we won't make mistakes, not at all. But it's about our motives being pure. It's about trying to genuinely live the Christian life. And so we're going to look at how to have a heart integrity. So firstly, the pure in heart are people who are whole. I've already talked about that. You're not leading a double life. You're the same person all the time, whether we are at work or at home or at church. It's who you are, Bill Hybels says, when no one else is looking. Proverbs 3, the Lord hates people with twisted hearts, but he delights with those who have integrity. Twisted hearts, you could say phony people. Secondly, we are authentic people. And Jesus wants us to be the real deal all the time. Again, that doesn't mean that we're perfect, but we're authentic. People will come to trust you if they believe that you are authentic. They'll see that you aren't afraid to apologize if you get it wrong because you aren't saying you're perfect or authentic. What used to happen in Greek in ancient Greek times was that what would happen is that the Greeks loved theatre. And so what they would do is that they wouldn't have a large cast of actors, but they would have one actor that would play many parts. And so what the actor would do to change the role that he was playing is he would run off the stage and put on a different mask. And so that word in the Greek is hypokritos. It's where we get the word hypocrite from. You see, you and I can be wearing different masks depending on the situation or the people that we're with. And so the question I want to ask or pose to you today is, do you have different masks? Are you one way at work and another at home and yet another at church? Thirdly, the pure in heart are sincere people. We have the right motives. We do the right thing for the right reason. Even when the right thing may not benefit us, we do it because it's the right thing to do. There is sincerity. Do you know that is a word that we have lost in this generation? That there are people that lack sincerity. I can tell you that one of the greatest things that people are looking for is sincerity. And in particular in friendships. You know, I have been, interestingly, I've got some friends that are very, very wealthy. And I just find it so interesting because they want to hang out with me because I'm not very wealthy. So, you know, I've got a lovely home. I drive a lovely car, you know. I don't buy designer clothes because I can't afford it. But, you know, these girls drive beautiful cars and beautiful homes and, my gosh, you know. Well, they spend on going out to lunch. I spend on the food bill for the week. But that's okay because that's where they're at. That's their deal and they've worked hard for that. And I love it. They're good friends. But one of the things was a friend was saying to me recently, and this sort of goes into another area, but she was saying to me, Andrea, she said, she's on a journey towards coming to know God. And so she said to me, Andrea, she said, I just love hanging out with you. Her and I catch up every couple of months for lunch. I'd love to do it more. I just don't get time. I said, oh, thank you. That's nice. She said, I feel like, not a Christian, I feel like I can trust you. I said, oh, okay then, why would you say that? She said, I've got this situation where, so her circle of friends are people who are pretty wealthy. And she said that, I'll give you an example. She says, we went out to dinner and she said, there was a group of us husbands and wives. And she said, what would happen was, she says, one of the wives would get up to go to the toilet and the table would just go and dissect everything about the person who'd just gone to the toilet. They'd gossip, they'd backstab, you name it. So I said to her, oh, I said, well, you know what happens when you go to the toilet, don't you? They're going to do the same to you. She goes, well, I know that. She goes, these are my friends and I can't trust them. Integrity is about sincerity. Apostle Paul says, I've said that to you again. This is a scripture I'm just loving at the moment. The love of God compels me. What does it compel us to do? What does God love, his love, compel us to do? Does it compel us to be sincere and do the right thing? So, let's come to the how-to part this morning. How do we get integrity? Here's a checklist that you can go through and measure how you think you're going and what areas may need some work. Having said that, I do want to say very clearly that this is something that I'm working on as well. And it's a lifetime goal, isn't it? Okay, so we need to go to Psalm chapter 15, verses 1 to 5. And these are our scriptures for today. Fantastic. So, this is how we can get integrity. You can write these down and then look at that during the week and then ask God, you know what I do? And we're actually going to do, you're getting this next week, but I don't want to jump the gun. One of the things I've been doing for quite a few years now is I actually journal, and it's not Dear Diary. Oh, Dear Diary, you know, I'm 2 kilos heavier this week than last week. No, no. What I do is I journal. So what I do is I write down things that I feel that God is speaking to me about or key scriptures. And then I write down messages that I may have listened to and I just write them down. And then during the week, I'll go back and I'll reread that. So this is some great stuff for you to go through during the week and think, okay, how am I going? How's this? I'm just going to do a little bit of, you know, self-analysis on myself. Psalm 15 verses 1 to 5. Let's read it together. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? What a great question. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? You know, I want to be in the presence of God. I don't want anything that I do to distance me from God and his presence. So God tells us, those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts, those who refuse to slander others or harm their neighbours or speak evil of their friends, those who despise persistent sinners and honour the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promise even when it hurts, those who do not charge interest on the money they lend and who refuse to accept bribes to testify against the innocent. Such people will stand firm forever. Let's just unpack that a little bit. And I'm going to give you just not, it's not an exhaustive list, but just a few keys that you can actually have a look at to see how you're going. Well, we become a person of integrity. Remember, what's integrity? Whole life, integrated life. So we can become a person of integrity. If we could go back to the PowerPoint, please, AJ, that would be fantastic. Firstly, it's speaking truth from a sincere heart. Okay, that sounds easier, doesn't it, than it is. What that means is we don't lie. Ouch. Come on. Who sometimes tells a lie because you don't want to hurt their feelings? Come on. Come on. You don't want to say to someone, gee, you're looking really ugly today. Husbands, you don't want to say that to your wife. Or sometimes it's easier to tell a lie, isn't it, than to tell the truth because we feel like we don't want to hurt. I know just recently a friend of mine was telling me of a relationship that has disintegrated because a lie was told. And when the person that was lied to found out the truth, they were just like, you lied. And it was a biggie. So we don't lie. So how do we get integrity? We have to get courage on the inside to tell the truth. Okay, the way we do that is God's opinion needs to matter more to you than other people's opinions. Now, our young ones, especially those of you that are going through puberty and coming into teenagehood, this is a hard one because peer pressure is the big deal. We all want to fit in and we all want to be the same. We don't want to stick out. But we have to get a revelation that God loves us so much that he actually wants you to be the individual that he created you to be. You know, I'm always saying this to my kids, saying that, you know, people just want you to be a certain way. And you and I have to get to the point where we go, you know what? Actually, my relationship with God, not that you want to hurt people, but I actually want his approval more than anyone else's. So we don't lie. We get courage to tell the truth. Now, the Holy Spirit will help you with that. You just need to say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to tell the truth. Because what will happen is God, he'll bring conviction. Or you'll go, oh, and you'll know straight away. Okay, what's another thing? Speaking truth from a sincere heart is we don't exaggerate. That's lying. How big was the fish, boys? Kale, you are here this morning. Hi, guys. That fish that you caught, that thing was like prehistoric. Now, that was a big fish. But, you know, we've got Instagram now, so you can't really lie, can you? But you know what I mean? It's just like, don't lie. Exaggeration is a lie. We can blow things out of context. And also, speaking truth from a sincere heart is we don't live a lie. You know, one of the things that I have found that having friends that are wealthy has challenged me in is actually accepting who I am. You know, I'm never going to be in their league. It wasn't what I signed up for. I celebrate what they have got. But you need to get a sense of comfort in who you are. Don't live a lie of trying to be someone else. Secondly, we become a person of integrity by we don't slander others or speak evil of their friends. You know, I've been really, grieved is probably not the right word, but burdened by this. This relates to relational integrity. You know, we all here, okay, let me do a survey. Who here has had someone say something about them that was pretty nasty? Someone's gossiped about them. Only a few? My gosh, I would have thought everyone. Okay, is everyone pretty much? Give me a nod if you don't like putting your hands up. Some people don't want to do that. Okay, pretty much everyone's had something pretty horrible said about them, haven't they? And really, if we're quite honest, we've said something pretty horrible about someone to someone else, haven't we? We've all gossiped and we've all been gossiped about. But I've been really burdened by this recently because I just feel that, you know, I've just been listening to a situation one of my kids has been telling me about, and I have just been horrified about the toxicness of gossip and the power to destroy beautiful lives because this thing, and I believe it's a spiritual deal. I am so convinced it's a spiritual deal. I am so convinced that the devil wants to come to cheat, lie, and destroy our life. And so I want to say, church, I want you at C3 Fremantle, I want you to guard this area. You see, if you're listening to gossip, it's as bad, the Bible says, as gossiping. And so what I want to encourage you to do in 2015, as you deepen your relationship with God and God has a greater impact in your world, I want you to guard this area. When you're at the workroom, in the workroom at lunch on Monday, and they start bitching about the boss, say, Holy Spirit, help me here. You know, I loved Marg Stedman. She walked in today and I said, how's work going? She goes, Andrea, I've got a job. I said, good answer, Marg. What a good answer. That is a good answer. You know, when someone at school, and it happens a lot in girls' schools, but someone in school starts bitching about someone else, and sorry, that is sort of the Australian acronym for gossiping if you are from another culture. I am not swearing on stage for a reason. But if, that's actually not an acronym, is it? You know what I mean, slang. So if someone's bitching about someone at school, what are you going to do about it? Because it's when we get into these things, it erodes our character. And then people can't trust us because they know you're gossiping. When my friend was telling me the story at the restaurant, I said to her, hun, and honestly, God is my witness, I've got a big shoes to fill now, me and my big mouth, you know me, I'm a sanguine. I said, she's not a Christian. I said, sweetheart, I just want to tell you right now. I said, you can trust me. I'm putting it out there on the line. I'm showing her, you know what? I'm a Christian. I'm different. I said, hun, you can trust me. I am not going to bitch behind your back. You can trust me. Now, I've got to be accountable to God on that one. So you don't want to just sort of flippantly say, oh, you know. But I just felt so compelled to say, you know what? We have to be different in here. Surely we have to be different in here because everyone's doing it out there. And so we need to guard what comes out of our mouth. You know, the Bible says haven't got this in my notes, but in Proverbs, that a kind word is like honey. Sweet to the soul, calming to the bones. It heals. Honey is a healing agent. You know, are our words kind? Again, that's what God's been saying to me. Andrea, how kind are you being to people? So, we need to keep our word. Ouch. I told you it's a checklist. You're going to have to work on this all year. Come on, who's got kids here? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, I'll tell you. My gosh, my gosh. Ever made a promise you wish you hadn't? I am the worst for saying, we're going to have you over for a meal. I tell you, don't say that if you don't mean it. You got to have them over. If you said, let's have dinner together, you got to have them over. It's your word. Your yes be yes. I remember a story of Joyce Myers one time. She had, Joyce Myers is an international women's speaker in America and she's got her own TV show. And Joyce was saying this one time that this couple came up to her and she was chatting away to them. And she said, oh, if you're ever down my way, just look me up and I'll show you around. I don't know where she lives. Say Chicago. I'll show you around Chicago. Well, they called her. And she's like, no. And they're going to stay a week. And she's like, no. And the Lord said, you said that. You need to follow it through. Okay. Keep your word. Promise the kids something. Don't say you'll take them to Disneyland. Don't say it. But, you know, maybe it's being on a church roster. Ouch. Ouch. And we don't think it matters if we don't show up because, you know, something else has come up that's more important. All these things chip away at your integrity because people think, oh, they aren't trustworthy. Oh. Fourthly, honor those who love God. We touched on this a little bit. You know, I love this one. The dictionary definition of honor is an outward sign of great respect, regard, and esteem. I'll say it again. Honor is an outward sign of great respect, regard, and esteem. Betty, she turns 90, April the 8th. Come on. Come on. Come on. Charlie and Helen celebrate 30 years of marriage in July. Come on. Come on. There's plenty of other things. So, Jesus wants us to model what he did. In John chapter 8, verses 49, Jesus honors the Father. He's always honoring the Father. He says, I only do what the Father has told me to do. He's showing honor to the Father, Father God. You know, as I said recently that, you know, if we can't honor here in the church, how on earth is our world going to know about how to honor? It has to start here in the home. It has to start in the family. You know, we need to learn to honor one another. And this is the place where we need to be championing each other. And we're going to talk a little bit about that at the leaders' meeting. A great way how we as leaders can build into the lives of other people. We need to encourage each other. We need to support each other. And we need to pray for one another. Show honor. Finally, number five is financial integrity. Are you stealing today? Are you stealing today? Oh, dear. There's many ways we can steal. I'll just give you a few of them. Now, having said that, I was quite flippant, but God actually takes this really seriously. It's one of the Old Testament Ten Commandments. So, are you stealing time off your boss? Are you coming to work late? Are you leaving early? Are you on Facebook during the day when you should be working? When Nigel and I were just on leave a few weeks back, we were in this the best restaurant in this area, which, you know, it's a nice restaurant. And we would just giggle because the staff, and this is not in Australia, this was in Bali, the staff were constantly on their Facebook, texting Facebook, to the point where Nigel and I just couldn't get service. We'd be like, can we have a cup of... And that'd be... Now, you know, we were fine. We're on holidays. We're quite relaxed. We've actually, you know, we were fine. But it is stealing. If you're on Facebook or Instagram or taking time out, or maybe you're a smoker today, well, just trust God will help you with that one because it's too expensive and don't want to get cancer and all that stuff. But, you know, out having smoko longer than you should be. Or maybe you're stealing resources. Those pens from the office. Someone's laughing loud. Those pens from the office. I'm sorry, I shouldn't point. Those pens from the office. What about the bathrobe? Did any of you steal the bathrobe at the Sofitel in the Philippines? I know the slippers were free, but the bathrobes, come on. With all the thing on them. What about, you know, I've heard people steal the salt and pepper shakers off cafe tables. Butchie, did they put it on? Don't look, she's shaking her head. That's stealing. Come on. You can laugh, it's true. God actually takes it seriously. Okay, let's get closer to home. What about money? What about doing cashies? Ouch, I'll leave that one with you. People often say, you don't understand, the government just wastes my taxes, so why should I pay them? Really good question. Let me answer that for you. The Bible says that God, governments are accountable to God. Leave that one with him. You pay your taxes. Jesus is quite clear. Pay the tax man what's due his. Pay God what's his. So if he's telling you to do that, he'll sort out the governments. Okay? So I'm just so grateful I live in Australia. Okay. What about robbing God? You know, as a church, as pastors, one of the things that Pastor Nigel's told me is that consistently during the holidays, people stop giving their tithe. And I go, but Jesus didn't go on holidays. The church didn't go on holidays. But people go on holidays with their tithing. Look, we're required to faithfully pay our tithes, not occasionally and not when we can afford it. See, that's a question of integrity with God, and it's financial integrity. When I was growing up in the church that I came from, C3 Hepburn Heights, the pastor gave an amazing story. There was a man that was in real estate and he was struggling to tithe. So Pastor Frank Holcren at the time, he said to him, okay, well, what about to help you on your journey of giving, what about you don't, when you sell a house, don't give anything to God for the first 9. On the 10th, give that or your commission as a tithe to God. He thought, awesome, that's easy. Started selling houses. He'd had a bit of a drought. Blessing of God comes on to him. He starts selling houses. And now you know the story, don't you? You know what's going to happen, don't you? Well, the 10th house was a multi-million dollar house. True story. Pastor Frank, he's still alive. He can verify. He couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. Now, I'm not here to bring shame on anybody that isn't giving to God. But God says, test me in this and will I not open the windows of heaven? You know what I've always wondered? I've wondered if he gave that tithe of that 10th house, what would have the next house been? I wonder if God would have said, okay, Andrew Forrest is selling that little pad up in Cottesloe and he needs a real estate agent. Come on. And so God needs to test us to see how is our financial integrity. I can tell you now, if you can't handle the small things financially, he will not give you the big things. That is the reality. It's not a punishment. It's just he knows he can't trust you with and he's got a kingdom to reach and the poor to feed and a world to know about Jesus. So he's got to give it to people who are good with their money. He'll give you more talents the more that you give, the more that you honor him in it. So I want to tell you, you want a bigger world, release your finances. Okay, so in conclusion, the blessing of integrity. I'm going to leave you with this scripture, Proverbs 10, verse 9. People with integrity have a firm footing, but those who follow crooked paths will slip and fall. You know, there's a great book by Dr. Henry Cloud that's written, it's called Integrity, and it's written for people in business. And he was giving the story of a CEO of a company, and Dr. Cloud was actually a consultant at the time. He is an organizational psychologist, and he was giving an example at the time. The CEO said to him, Dr. Cloud, I just don't know what to do. So what had happened was the CEO had had a situation where two of his senior managers had come to him and said, we're quitting. And he's like, why? And he goes, because of this person, this other person. So in their consult, he was telling Dr. Cloud this situation. And it made Henry Cloud realize that it doesn't matter how gifted you are, how many abilities you have, if you don't have integrity, people won't be able to work with you. And so what I want to say today is as we work on in 2015 how to have a whole and integrated life, and as I've said to you, hey, these are a checklist. We're going to have to work on these. I can in some of these areas, I score very low. But you know what? Eventually, it will catch up with you, those areas where you're lacking integrity in. It'll be easy to tell a lie in a business deal. It'll be easy to steal in certain areas. It'll be easy to gossip. Those areas will be easy. But as we allow God's Spirit into our world, as we allow the Holy Spirit, and we say, Holy Spirit, you know, I want to have a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. As I said to you, it's not about being sinless. It's not about being perfect. But it's having a motivation that wants to put God first in our world. And then what that does is that allows the Holy Spirit to speak into our life to say, Andrea, do you really think that was right the way you handled that or you said that or you did that? And so as we recognize and the Word of God starts to teach us about these areas, you'll find that areas of integrity, people need a world where they can trust other people. You know, as a pastor, I will go to my grave with the secrets of people in this church. I say to them, you can trust me with your life. I will not speak something. If you've told me something and you need someone to trust you, now that's not look at me. That's saying we, the church, this is us. We're to be the people of integrity. And so if you do that, you'll have a firm footing. You see, what will happen is you'll walk with a self-confidence that other people don't walk with, because you know that you're only trying to please God. You're trying to please your Father in heaven. You realize that, you know what? You don't want to gossip about other people because you know how devastating that is. Because you want the love of Christ to compel you. You'll be able to think financially and go, you know, the reason we talk about tithing is because it's integrity with God. It's you and God. It's a question of, do you trust him really with your life? Do you trust him that he will be able to provide for you? And so you can walk with confidence. And you know what I find? Like my friends that are really wealthy. And I look, honestly, I'm using it as an example. I love everyone. But you know what I find? Is they want me in their world. Because I'm not trying to be someone I'm not. Because I say to them, I've got your back. I say, I'm not going to gossip about you. You know, I've had them say to me, Andrew, all my friends are divorcing. I say, don't worry, Nigel and I, we're going to be married forever. They need to know that. Our world needs to know that. And so we can do that. We can display Christ out there to a world. And you know what? I can assure you the blessing of God will come on your world. I can assure you that doors will open up because people see that you're a person of integrity. I can assure you that you're going to get jobs that other people were meant to get, but because you're a person of integrity. I can assure you that financial blessing is going to come into your world because you've not cheated. I can assure you of that, that God will bring in friends and you and young people. Work, fight for this. Fight for this in your youth group. Fight that you won't gossip. Fight that you won't backstab each other. And do you know what you'll find is that is attractive to a world of young people that are insecure. So you'll be able to walk around with confidence. People will like to be around you because you're not trying to please anyone except your Father. You're not perfect, as I said. You're not sinless. See, Fremantle only has imperfect people with a bit of sin. But you know what? I want us to be known out there. Do you know this church is actually known? People talk about C3 Fremantle. They say we're a friendly church. It's known all over our state. That didn't come from me. That came from our state director. But you know, that's nice. I would love C3 Fremantle to be known as people that have got each other's back. That is another Australian word to me. You know, armor bearer, armor this way. In a war, they'd come up, guard your back. Got your back. We could make that a statement this year. I've got your back. And they feel safe to be with you. I'm going to work on having an integrated life. Let's pray, church. Father God, right now. Right now, why don't you just think of those areas, those five areas, as we close our eyes and just spend the next 2 minutes just focusing now. This is your part. You know me, I love to give you homework. Those five areas, speaking truth from a sincere heart, not gossiping, being a person of your word, honoring those in the house of God, and having financial integrity. Just say to God right now, Father, is there any area where I've actually been insincere? You know, God, I love to flatter people. Father, I've been lying in a situation I need to just come clean on. Or maybe today it's you struggle with gossip. We all do, guys. It's just rampant out there. Maybe it's you're going to say today, Holy Spirit, help me not to get involved in that office kind of gossip or in the workroom. You know, I love what Mark said. I've got a job. Just, you know, go in and say to your boss, I'm so glad I've got a job. Change your confession. I love working here. Even if you don't, change your confession. What about being a person with financial integrity? Saying to God, God, have I been robbing you? Have I been robbing my boss? Have I been robbing the government? And make it a work in progress this year. Those five areas, did I say them all? Keeping your word, honouring those who love God, financial integrity. Just say, God, what is it I need to do this year? Thank you, Father.